I'm Ed Glaze, one of the pastors here, and I know you're usually used to seeing Vern come and speak at this service. Well, he's at the sanctuary, and someone asked him if he was going to wear a robe, and he said, well, no, he'll at least wear a coat. And then someone asked me if I was going to wear sandals at this service, and y'all, you don't want to see these toes. No, they're the ugliest toenails in the world. So I will not be in sandals. Plus, it's too daggum cold out for sandals right now, don't y'all? You remember where I'm from? Okay. Yeah. So I'm not going to wear sandals. I promise you that. I will not curse you with that. But I am honored and blessed to be here with you and with those who are watching online. Vern and I and Jeff, we're going to rotate some between the services so that you get blessed by the different voices of your preaching staff. Because each person that is offering you the word comes from a different perspective, right? But God is speaking to you and us, through us, that we can offer to you what God is saying for this church at this time and in this place. Excuse me. So I'm honored to be here, and I look forward to other opportunities to preach here, and of course, as well in the sanctuary. Before we read the scripture for this morning, let's open our hearts and minds as we go to God in prayer. Lord, we come before you this morning knowing that you long to speak to your people. So God, we pray through the power and inspiration of your Holy Spirit that as we read your written word and as we proclaim the message that has been given to us this day, God, that you would open up our hearts and minds to receive the blessings that you want to pour into us, to receive the wisdom that you long to give to us, to give us understanding so we can better live for your son Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Just a brief passage of scripture, and we'll talk a lot about this text here in just a minute. It comes from Lamentations, the third chapter, starting with verse 22. The writer says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." I will hope in him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you. If those of you don't know me that well yet, I'm an Auburn person. Yeah. We won last night, but, you know, we're playing probably the worst team in the nation. And, some said it was a girls' school. I get that. No, Akron had a decent team. Ha. We won the game last night. But we're Auburn people, and I've served several churches in and around the Auburn area. And I would go to Jordan-Hare Stadium on a Saturday or Saturday night, and the next day I would come back hoarse. And for a while there, my congregants had pity on me. They thought I had some sort of cold or laryngitis, but then they began to realize that this cold only showed up after home games at Auburn. So we have been to a lot of Auburn games, been to some great, great games. And we have a lot invested there. Both of our kids went to Auburn, so yeah, we definitely have a lot invested there. Our son was a videographer for the Auburn football team, and that came with some benefits to us that we got great seats on the 50-yard line at a lot of home games. So we really enjoy Auburn. And so when I'm going to be showing a couple videos, I wish this is the video that I could show and we could watch the whole game. But just show a bit of a clip here, if you like, and see something that, well, means a lot to us Auburn people anyway.
Does not have athletes on the field. They've got offensive linemen on the field.
Chris Davis is going to drop back into the end zone in single safety. Well, I guess if this thing comes up short, he can field it and run it out. All right, here we go. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone.
Oh my God!
Davis is going to run it all the way back!
War Eagle. Oh, could hey, there's some smart people out there. Thanks for applauding. Yeah, I wish we could watch the whole game, but, well, we better not. What a great video to show in the opening week of college football. And, you know, I know a lot of people are excited. App State had a great game. Glad to see that game. Yeah. Understand, some went and then got back early in the morning to go to that game. I've done a lot of that myself, so glad you all were able to go see that game. But I show that video because, you know, that's a video I'd like to watch and show all over, but I've got something that applies more to the sermon, and it comes from that other school in this our home state. Yeah, and it's one of the great coaches of college football history, but it speaks to the gift that God gives us in a new day. So Gresham, show this video that really has a lot of wisdom, even if it comes from, well, that other school.
This is the beginning of a new day.
This is the beginning of a new day.
God has given me this day to use as I will.
I can waste it.
I can waste it.
I can waste it or use it for good.
What I do today is important.
What I do today is important.
As I am exchanging a day of my life for it.
When tomorrow comes,
this day will be gone forever.
This day will be gone forever.
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 Leaving something in its place.
I have traded for it.
I want it to be gain, not loss.
Good.
Good.
Good, not evil.
Success.
Success, not failure.
In order that I shall not forget
the price I paid for it.
Yeah. I won't say what those guys would say in response to that, but I mean, that's a powerful word, isn't it? It's a reminder given by Coach Bryant and all those other great Alabama players that this day is a gift. It's a gift that God has given to each one of us. It's a sign and a symbol, a sacrament, that every day is a chance to be renewed and restored. It's a day in which we can experience the grace of God in a powerful, powerful way. At the sanctuary a few weeks ago, I quoted Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and he said this, "Every day is your birthday." Because in a way it is, because every day is something new given to us by God to experience His grace, the newness of His life, His mercies that never cease, as the writer of Lamentations says. And what we offer back to God with this gift He's given to us in this new day is our gift back to God. It's our gift back to God. That this new day, this thing that we've been given, as Coach Bryant said, is a day that we are asked to be used for good, not evil, success, not failure. And as we do that, we can bring honor to God. The trouble is, in our day and time, so many people have checked out. Our society is struggling in a lot of ways. We see all the mess going on in Afghanistan. And we see so many people that are just saying, you know, I'm just going to pull back. I'm just going to, you know, live my life and not really care about anything else. And so they squander not only the gift of the day, but the gift of their life. People are trying to do things to escape life or to do things that squander their lives. They do things that enable them to, they think, make it through the day, but not engaging in the gift that God has given this day. Have you all seen what was in the news this last week, what the government of China did? China has banned, during the week, young people from playing online video games. Did you see that? The Chinese government has said that too many of your young people are wasting their time by sitting in front of a screen hour after hour. And they have, because they can control a lot of things in that communist society, we're not going to let young people play video games during the week. Interesting. And I have seen more than one college student fail out of college because Well, they spent all their free time in front of a screen playing video games. Yeah, people do squander time. They listen to all sorts of things. They watch a lot of television. They get engaged in apps on their phone. Or they do like I sometimes do. They get on the phone and they just start getting engaged in all the many news stories that fly from the various organizations. Now, please hear this. There's nothing wrong with taking some time away to escape a little bit, particularly if you're watching television and you're watching either Auburn or App State or the Braves, right, Justin? Yeah, there you go. If you got those three, it's okay. You can watch that all you want. Now, I'm being facetious there. But it becomes a problem when we use these things to escape from life and miss out on what God is doing in our lives and miss out on what is happening. There's a saying out there that, what are you doing? I'm just killing time. Oh my gosh, what a sad statement. I'm killing time. Doesn't that person realize that they are squandering away a valuable gift that they can never, ever, ever get back? You ever looked at your watch and seen the second hand or your phone and seen the seconds tick by? We'll never get those back again. They are gifts given to us by God to experience in a new and a powerful way His love, His mercy. And we are to use those gifts and the gift of the day to do good, making a difference day after day after day. And who knows what will happen in and through our lives if we do such things like that. Rabbi Israel Slatner wrote before his death words that you may have heard. He said, "When I was a young man, I was going to change the world. And after a while, I realized the world would not be changed, so I decided to focus in on my nation, and it too would not be changed. So I decided to take my time and focus in on my town. And as I became older, I realized my town wouldn't change, so I put my focus on my family to have an impact on them, and they would not change either. And now that I am old and about to die, I realize the only thing that I can change is myself. If I change myself, it might impact my family. If I had an impact on my family, maybe we could change our town. And as we work together to change our town, we can change our nation." And then he closes out, "Who knows? I could have changed the world." Moment by moment by moment, realizing the gift of God's new mercy and grace in our lives makes changes in our lives that people will notice. And over time, day after day after day, we can make an impact. We can change the world. It's interesting, though, where these few verses that I read from the book of Lamentations fall in this very sad book. If you read the whole work of Lamentations, if you read all five chapters, you're going to be mighty depressed. You know, it's not called Lamentations for a reason. I mean, it is sad stuff. We believe that it was Jeremiah or someone close to Jeremiah, not real sure, wrote this book after the fall of Jerusalem in 587 BCE. What had occurred is that the people of Judah, over time, had grown callous in their relationship to God. They had put their own interests above God. Oh, they tipped their hat to Yahweh, but then they went and did their own thing. Kind of sound familiar? Some folks going to church and saying, "I'm tipping my hat to you, Lord," and then go and do your own thing. Don't let God have any control over their lives. So God let them succumb to the consequences of their actions. And the Babylonians came and conquered the nation of Judah and then laid siege to the city of Jerusalem for 3 years. And during that siege, we read about in the works of Jeremiah, and also he describes it in Lamentations, the horror of what went on. Starvation, disease, people eating whatever they could get their hands on. And then the walls come down. The Babylonians besiege the city and then break down the barriers and enter into the city. And throughout the work, we hear of these sad things. people slaughtered in the streets, priests and prophets killed there in the temple. The royal palace, the seat of governmental power, is destroyed. And even worse, the center of worship of God, the temple itself, is laid to ruin. And in the midst of all this, this prophet, maybe Jeremiah, we're not sure who it is, sees all of this destruction. And he's weeping. He's crying. He's even a little bitter. He wonders why this is happening. Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine being in a city where everything is destroyed, everything's laid to waste, everything that you knew is taken from you? People are hauled off as hostages to a foreign land, and you're there looking at the wasteland that has been left, the destruction that is there. Not many of us can do that, can we? But, you know, maybe some of us can. Next weekend, we'll be remembering 20 years ago what happened in New York City and in Washington, D.C., when those terrorists came and laid to ruin the center of our power at the New York City World Trade Center and at the Pentagon, and they're trying to attack the Capitol, too. We saw all the destruction and all the fear and all the sorrow and the anger. We see this right now in our nation as fires are raging all over the West. In California, towns are being laid to waste as they burn, as the dry countrysides are catching fire and people are having to flee. Towns are being destroyed. And just, last week, Hurricane Ida swept through the Gulf Coast at southern Louisiana and then went up into the northeast, wiping out towns and flooding out people. Many dozens are killed. Wow. Maybe some people we know, maybe you have experienced that. And can we, in the midst of that, do like Jeremiah and say, "Great is your faithfulness"? My heart's on southeast Louisiana right now. Back after Hurricane Katrina and Rita hit, our church went down for several weeks to do some reconstruction in a little town called Dulac, Louisiana. It's the home of the Houma Indians. Now, these Indians speak French as their first language, and it's not modern French. They inherited the French from Acadia in Canada a long time ago, and they've kept that language alive. So that's the language that they speak. Now, it's interesting that these Houma Indians are not recognized as an official Native American tribe by our own government, but the French government recognizes them. Yeah, go figure. But while we're down there, we saw the great destruction that happened after Hurricane Rita. And houses were wiped out, and some were taken off their stilts, and trailers were blown away. And we work with a dear family of T-Boy and May and Mr. Jimmy. And they were rough-talking but good-hearted French-speaking people. And we didn't know when they were cussing because they said it in French, but we knew they were kind of rough. Well, it was interesting to see how they responded to that great destruction. They saw all their livelihood taken from them. They saw a lot of their boats washed up on shore. They saw their homes that were torn apart without roofs and some of them being wiped off their pilings. And yet, old T-Boy would light him a cigarette. I don't recommend that. And he would go and read his Bible and look out at the beauty of the bayous and the swamps and thank God for what he saw. That's happening right now. Dulac was the center of where Ida hit. I saw that the top sustained winds in Dulac, it wasn't right in the eye, but it was real close to it, 138 mile an hour sustained winds. And they need our thoughts and prayers. But I want to show you an example of the faith that looks at the eye of the storm and still says, great is thy faithfulness. All right, Gresham.
Wind picked up, started blowing real hard, and after it started blowing real hard, we started watching things. Once the shingle started blowing off the roof, then my son-in-law told me, said, look, father-in-law, said, the doggone shed done blew in, the doors on the shed done blew in also. And yesterday afternoon, late before dark, we came walk over here to check on this house, and this one had blown to pieces. Thank God we're alive. I mean, and we save everybody's life and nobody's injured. And that's the most important thing, because the material things are all replaceable. So we just want to thank God and be grateful that we're still here alive and we survived this thing, you know, because somehow somebody didn't make it, you know. There's no running water, there's no electricity, none of that's working. All the facilities are down, the telephone, cell phone towers are down, we have no communications, nothing. We may be a couple months before we get power, but that's okay. It's not the first rodeo. We've been here before. We have done it before, you know. And we're going to prevail. We're going to come on top because we got a good God on our side, and we're going to trust the Lord, and we're going to get through this.
Amen. As a home Indian. Yeah. The storm came through. They don't have power. Got Mike. There you go. The storm came through. They don't have power, no water. You saw his house. It's all over the community. And yet, did you hear his statement of faith? The good Lord's going to get us through. Echoing what Jeremiah or whoever wrote Lamentations said, Lord, you know, the walls have been knocked down. The people have been sent off into exile. Many of our friends and loved ones aren't here anymore. We're tired and weary. We're starving. But yet, great is your faithfulness. New every morning is your mercies. New every morning is your mercies. Y'all, a storm's going to come. Maybe, I hear around here it gets pretty bad in the wintertime and some weather. There's some storm that's going to come. And whether it's something that we experience corporately and then we have to deal with individually, or it's some personal issue in your own life, a job is going to disappear. A family member is going to go off on a wayward track. You have in your own life the storm of an issue with health that happens. And it's going to appear like all is lost. Or you may say, you know, I haven't had too many bad things happen. Well, the concerns of our global humanity, as we, some are saying, facing judgment for the consequences of the way we've treated our planet, there is going to be a personal response, a way we all deal with that. There's a storm that's going to come in your life. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. And then he said this, but I've overcome the world. So in the midst of whatever you're going to be dealing with, or what you're dealing with right now, somehow, some way, hear the word, my mercies are never failing. And then you can say, yes, great is your faithfulness. And sometimes, y'all, that ain't easy. You're probably wondering, how in the world did an Auburn person get enamored with a poem by Bear Bryant, or at least Bear Bryant kept in his back pocket all the time. He didn't write it, but it's one that he read every day because he kept it in his pocket and pulled it out and read it. Well, it happened to be taped to the mirror of our son's little house that we discovered when we went there to clean up his home and gather his possessions after he was killed in a car wreck 3 years ago. And as we saw that, I knew that meant something to him. But talk about having your world rocked. Our world was shattered. Vern said something powerful in the early service, and he said, I don't know if I'm going to preach the same sermon again, and I told him I get that, but I hope he repeats this, that something, sometime in our life, our identity will be taken from us. Well, that's one of my key points of my identity. I was his dad, and I am his dad. But it rocked our world, and I was sent into a very dark place. Hello, man. You all did a great job earlier, by the way. Thank you. Our world was rocked. And my wife and I, I can only speak for myself, though, I was in a very, very dark place. And almost didn't come out of it. But God sends angels of mercy to us, for great is his faithfulness. And in a particularly dark time, a good friend of mine came and said, I'm here. And I said, yeah, Andy, I see that you're here. Yeah, I get that. I wasn't in any mood for joking. He said, no, Ed, I'm here. He said, remember 10 years ago, you showed up at the service for my son. And I'm here to tell you that I'm here. And if I can make it, you can too. Day by day by day, leaning on the faithfulness of God and of others. Now, I'm not saying that it's easy still. No, darkness still comes. And we walk with a limp, but we walk supported by the never-failing mercies of God that are with us each and every day. For great is his faithfulness. And he's there for you, too. As you walk through the dark times that we all will go through, his mercy is never failing. And one of the ways I realize that each and every morning, or I should say most mornings, I've picked up the habit, and I started with our son Curtis's journal that he had from Auburn football, writing in every morning at least 10 things for which to give thanks. And sometimes it's just seeing the sunrise, because it's a reminder, it's a sacrament, that new every morning is your love, great God, for great is your faithfulness. Thomas Chisholm kind of knew what I'm talking about. In fact, he does know what I'm talking about. He was born soon after the Civil War, spent a majority of his teenage and early adulthood not believing in God, and then he came to a dramatic confession of faith at the age of 27. Soon after that, he felt a call to ministry, so he went through the long, arduous process of becoming an ordained Methodist preacher in the Methodist Episcopal Church. And after he had done all that work, after he had done all that study, he went to serve his very first church, and then his health gave out. After 1 year, he couldn't serve a church anymore, something that he thought he had been called by God to do. What happened in my life? And he was left without a way to make a living. He took a job scraping by, selling insurance in New Jersey, not fulfilling what he thought he would do, being very poor. But over his 93 years of life, he wrote over 1,200 poems about the faithfulness of God. And at the age of 75, he sent one of those poems off to the Hope Music Publishing Company. And the president of the company said, this is pretty good. It talks about the faithfulness of God, that morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Chisholm wrote it, thy hand hath provided. This very destitute, disappointed man said, yes, but great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. It's a song that I know you know. It's an affirmation of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, the most faithful gift of God's love for us. So, will you sing with us what Thomas Chisholm wrote so long ago, a man who had been through so much, but even in the midst of his trials, he realized that God is faithful. May you realize that as well.